This is Camp Hacker. Come find our show notes and our blog for summer camp leaders at camphacker.org.
Good day, and welcome to our podcast. This is Camp Hacker, episode 21, recorded on the 16th of August, 2011. Today's topic, reintegrating your camp people into the mundane world. If you would like easy, automatic, free updates of our podcast, you can subscribe in iTunes. Search the iTunes store for Summer Camp. Thank you for listening to the Camp Hacker Show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Camp Hacker from Walking Maverick. My name is Travis Allison. I was the executive director of five camps at the Cairn Camps and Retreat Centers, and before that, the director of Glenmore Camp in Muskoka, Ontario. I blog about running a great summer camp at camphacker.org.
And my name is Gabrielle Rail, and I'm one of the camp directors at Camp Waro, which is an all-girls camp in the Laurentians in northern Quebec.
And I'm Joe Richards. I'm the executive director of Pierce Williams Christian Center, which is a United Church of Canada summer camp and retreat facility in Iona, Ontario, halfway between Detroit and Toronto.
My name is Ryan Witt. I'm summer camp director at YMCA Camp Flame and Arrow, a YMCA camp for the greater San Antonio.
Awesome. Well, Ryan, welcome to Camp Hacker.
Oh, thank you.
It's great that you could join us, Ryan. As I often do when we get to Monday or Tuesday and I don't have an extra person to sit in, I post on the Summer Camp Pros group on Facebook, and Ryan was kind enough to say, hey, summer's over for me. It's a good time for me to join. So I'm so glad you're here. It's great.
Thanks.
Ryan, why don't you tell us a bit about what it is, what your job is right now?
Well, my official title is program director, but the program that I oversee is the summer camp department. I'm in charge of marketing for staff and for campers. I'm also in charge of the program, so I write curriculum. I do all of that stuff in the off season, and then in the spring is when it really hits. I go around all the YMCAs in the San Antonio area and market there and do camp fairs. And at the same time, I also do some of our video editing, and we blog, and we do our Facebook, and I'm kind of involved with all that, as well as the rest of our professionals.
That's awesome. It so fits the mentality of what we're doing here at Camp Hacker. So it's great to have you. So on top of that job, Ryan, you were a camper too growing up.
Yes, I've not missed a summer since third grade. So. I've experienced sports camps at universities, and I've did a hiking camp in Colorado, church camps, and now I found my calling with the YMCA, so now I'm with the Y.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, you know, with the Y, once you're in, it's hard. They never let you out.
No, definitely not. They have me hooked, so.
It always amazes me how white people just go from one Y to the next, to the next, to the next.
And the benefits are awesome.
That's
so
great.
I'm just doing it.
Yeah. That's amazing. That's amazing. Well, I've had a chance certainly to hang out with Joe a lot this summer because I was at Pierce Williams for 3 days shooting, and I was at Gabs in June, but I haven't had much chance to sort of, I guess, share with everybody else how your summers are going. So, Gab, has it been a great summer for you?
Yeah, it's been quite great. I think, the weather's been really wonderful. In Quebec, and so that's definitely helpful. And this year we had a fairly large staff turnover year, where a lot of our leadership team members came back, and our junior counselors came back, but our middle management, it was big turnover. So we had a lot of new staff, and it really shows how putting in the time and energy into staff hiring makes a difference, and we really felt that this summer. So it was very cool in the sense that we had a lot of new staff members, hired the right people, and we were able to make some of the changes that we want to make, and it's easier to make with new people. And so it was a very exciting shift this summer, and just a wonderful time all around.
Great.
Yeah,
that's awesome. And Joe, how about everybody else? How has your summer been for those who haven't been to Pierce this year?
Summer here has been awesome. It's been July was a little hot, and now it's perfect temperature. everything is going really well. We have another two and a half weeks left of camp. We have a special camp at the end that we offer for free to local families who are on welfare. So yeah, things here are good. We're just, it's the home stretch and everybody's a little tired, but a lot of energy. We already have almost all of our leadership team in place for next year. We've already talked to them. They've already said they want to commit to it. So yeah, things are good.
Sounds amazing. Sounds amazing. Ryan, I meant to ask when I was starting with questions for you, how big is your camp?
This summer we served more than we ever served before. We served about 950 kids this summer. We do 8 sessions, just 1 week sessions. So we have new turnover pretty much every single week with kids, but our staff stays for 10 weeks, including staff training. And staff-wise, we only have about 50 staff during the summer. So we basically train everyone in how to do everything, and we sort of go from there.
Awesome.
How many kids a week, Ryan?
It ranges from 100 to 120. I think our max this summer we had, including our LIT program, which I don't really think about whenever I think about numbers because I focus on traditional camp a lot with number-wise, was around 135 kids. So.
And what sort of activities do you have?
We're traditional summer camps. So if you think about those traditional things that summer camps do, archery. We have BBs because they don't allow, our insurance company doesn't allow us to use 22 guns. But we also have a slide, a water slide that goes down into our Guadalupe River. We have about a mile of riverfront. So a lot of our activities exist around there. So we have a swimming pool. There's fishing. Our main activity is one of those that a lot of kids, I don't know if you guys ever heard of it, but it's pretty big in America right now, in American camps. It's the Gaga ball.
Yep.
And they just play it nonstop. And so we've had to build 2 pits now. We have 1 by our pool, so kids who don't want to swim, they just do play Gaga or they fish. And then there's 1 by our main building, and kids just play it. And it's a dust bowl here right now, so when kids get out, they have the mud smiles, like they open up and they smile and they have their teeth are all brown. And so that is the best camp activity so far.
That would be an awesome picture. Would be great.
Gaga ball has really come on strong, it seems, in the past 5 years.
Yeah.
As an activity. And it's funny, I remember the first time I ever played it was in the fall of 1993 when I was working a after school program up in Thunder Bay, Ontario, and I had a guy introduce me to it in a school gymnasium. You just turn the benches on their side, so you only have a 12-inch wall, but it works perfect. And yeah. And since then, I've seen pits that are like 5-6 feet high and way big, and I'm just like, man, that's crazy.
Yeah. We build our own, and we're a big we follow the YMCA core values, and the core values have correlating colors. We paint our Gaga pit with correlating colors to the YMCA core values. And so people drive on and they're like, what is that rainbow mess that's just sitting in the middle of your field? And we're like, that's Gaga ball. And that's usually how we can introduce retreats and stuff like that to the Gaga game. So
that's great.
I'm just looking up because I've never heard of it. And I'm just looking it up right now. And it's so wild because what you're saying, Joe, is like, I mean, we've been playing this for years with our benches sort of, as you said, like just put down basically and to create an octagon shape. And it's one of our most popular games that we play when it's raining. We do it in the indoors and inside, and we call it Waro Gladiators. And the kids go absolutely nuts. And when we first introduced this to a camp that came to Waro, we're an all-girls camp, and they were just visiting, and it was a bunch of guys, and we're like, we're going to play Waro Gladiators, and we're explaining the rules, and I could see, like, the guys' faces being like, what kind of wimpy game is this game? And my brother, who's there on programming at the time, is like, guys, I know it doesn't sound cool, but once you play, it's going to be amazing.
Right.
We just started playing, but I had no idea there was actually... It's a great game, and you can pretty much do it anywhere. That's very cool.
It's really important. We've discovered over the years that there's time for Gaga Ball breaks as well, because our Gaga Ball court, Travis has seen them. They're portable. Like, you can take them down and move them somewhere else with, you know, just by putting them on the back of a wagon. And the thing we've found is that we need to teach our staff how to still supervise our kids while playing Gaga Ball, because that can't be the only activity that goes on. And if you let kids do it, it is the only activity that can go on.
Yeah, most definitely.
I think kids just gravitate towards it, would play till they fall down dead exhausted.
Well, I don't know. We play a pretty inclusive style, and I'm assuming most people play it this way, where even when you're out, you can stand on the outside and you can still play and be involved with the game, because you can hit someone else in the middle and then you get to jump back in and switch. And so that's why I think our kids really like it, is because they're never truly out.
Right.
They always have a chance to win, and it's an inclusive game instead of an exclusive, like dodgeball or a game like that would be. So,
That's a great way to play. I love it. All right. Well, we brought everybody together today to talk about the end of the summer and some of the things that come up from that. And I thought about this this topic because I read an article last week, and it was in our newsletter last week, from Jill Tippograph, who's a consultant who helps families choose camps. And she wrote a neat article about how to reintegrate kids back into life at home, especially, you know, kids that have been away for a couple weeks, a month, maybe 7 or 8 weeks, and how to sort of get them back into the home life and manage that. And it made me realize that it's such an important thing for us to do for our staff, because some of our staff may have been just caught up in camp for the past as long as 4 months. And I always knew that I had such a hard time going back to high school after camp. And my last 3 years of high school was when I worked at camp. And it was really a time of depression for me, because I felt like I'd had so much responsibility. What I did was really important. And then I came back home and it's like, you know, get on the bus, go to school, take classes, and that was it. And I felt like I was sort of wasting my life at school. And I wondered if there was a way that you guys have worked to reintegrate your staff back into their life at home. Why don't we start? I'll ask you to go. Joe, why don't we start with you? What do you do to get your staff ready to go home, or to help them get back into their life at home?
I think that one of the big things, we end the summer and it's the, we have a staff trip. And I think that for years here, that has been, it's the signal that summer is done. You know, go back to a regular life. And that staff trip over the years has evolved into different things. You know, you do an amusement park, or you do, a simple night out with the staff, something that is special to them. But I think what it signals is that there's an end to it. It's different when you're at a summer camp where the staff go home every weekend. I know that for years working in a private camp where people were there for 2 or 4 months, it can be a lot more difficult. But when you're in a place where people go home every weekend, the goal of our system is to make sure that the people who, when they go home, they realize that there's still things they can do even though they're not at camp, for the betterment, right? Because you spend all summer with our focus being kids first, give the kids the most magical camp experience ever. And then they're sitting in calculus,
right?
And it just doesn't seem like you're doing much. But the past couple of years, our staff trip, last year we did to a global village through Heifer International. And the Global Village taught our staff a lot about poverty and cultural awareness. And this year, our staff trip is actually into the local town that we serve. About 30,000 people live in St. Thomas, Ontario. And we are going in and we're doing a four-part workshop with a leader, an old camper of mine from Toronto, who's now leads something called the GO Project. And it is a service-oriented project for youth. And but it's also a discussion to get people to think about where they want to take their lives. And so with this program, on the Saturday of our staff trip, they're actually going to be working at places like a soup kitchen or places like a teen center, doing service in our local community, and then coming back on Saturday night and sharing that while we still have our gathering going on. So it's a bit, I take that opportunity to make sure that we give the staff something in addition to all of the skills they learn at camp. I find this kind of a staff trip where you take them somewhere where they can learn something, and then they can take the skills that they might not have thought were applicable to the real world and see how it would apply to helping people for outside of camp as well.
Hmm. Well, that's really great. And really a lot of thoughts going into that. That's cool, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Gab, what do you do for the women of Ouro?
I think for a big part, it's the, when we do our check-ins at the end of the summer, we used to do it, literally, we did, I think it was, well, we have lots actually that we do that are, but then we have larger ones that take, you know, much longer. But we do regular check-ins, but the end of the summer evaluation starts about a week and a half before camp ends, and then it gives us time to do any adjustments that we might need to allow people to sort of, if they're upset about anything, we can sort of make some adjustments so that when they leave camp, they feel a little bit better and they feel like they've been heard. And sometimes it's only at the end that they say certain things that they're upset about or that they realize. And then in that check-in, we talk about what they're going to be doing when they get home. What was, you know, who were they before they came to camp, and who do they feel that they are when they leave camp? What kind of impact has camp made on them? And you know, what's going to be difficult about going back home, and sort of having that conversation. We used to have that conversation the day before they actually went home, and now we're looking at having that conversation between 8 to 5 days before they go home. And it's made a really big difference just in the process. Their processing of going home and actually thinking that there is going to be a change and that they are different. And I think that's what's hard, is that they do go through a shift, and when they get home, family members and friends expect them to be the same person, and they're not. They've learned a lot. They had a lot. They grew as an individual, and they had a lot of responsibility, and there's confidence there. And then there's the friendships that they make, and then they don't have that support system anymore, and they're reintegrating into a different support system. So we talk about that. And then as a final thing, we have instead of going out, we stay on camp, and we have a huge banquet that we do with the staff. And then of course we have like a reflection period of sort of what are we taking with us, and what are the certain things that we want to continue to work on while we're at home. So, and basically everybody takes that piece, with them. So there's a memory part too, but it's about them and their change and sort of recognizing the change that they've experienced and how that's going to help them and how that's going to sometimes be difficult.
That sounds really cool. Sounds really cool. And Ryan, what did you guys do?
Well, I'm kind of echoing what Gab said. I have a small of those staff that I can have individual conversations with each person before they leave. And I try to, throughout the summer, I try to have sit-down conversations with everyone just to sort of check in and see how they're doing with how the summer's going. And at that time, I ask them questions. I also have my ad staff. During staff training, we do nightly embers during staff training because that's our expectations with what they do with their kids. And so when we do those embers, we learn a lot of. I don't go to those embers because staff usually shuts down by me. But my ads have come back and sort of reports to me like, this is so and so is interested in this. This is so and so. This is sort of happening at home. It's something we need to be aware of. And then then I try to talk to them about it if they are willing to trust me with that information. And so when they go back home, they feel like they have someone to support them whenever they go home. And I'm not telling them what to do with what their life is outside of camp, but one thing that really I've had a lot of positive feedback is I just go up to them and tell them that know, I love you and I thank you so much for your service out here this summer. If you need anything, you just need to let me know. And then they just start talking to me about issues that they have and what my opinion may or may not be about it. Or if they just need someone to listen to, and then they're like, oh, I feel better. I can now go talk to my mom about it, or I can go talk to my professor about it. And I don't know. It's a very sort of it's my way of connecting again to my staff, because throughout the summer I'm sort of disconnected. I'm talking to parents all the time. And then when I connect with them at the end of the summer, I sort of give them an opinion of, because I was just there. I'm a pretty young camp professional. I was there as a counselor and an ad staff just a few years ago. And when my director did that with me, it made me realize a lot more about what I did at camp and how it helped me when I went home. To know that there's someone else, like, I can call him and he'll be able to just talk to me about my issues, because he's been there. And so we have a very supportive system, I guess you would say, is having individual conversations with each of them. And if they want our help, then we give it to them. But also just letting them know that if they need anything, they can just call us and they're part of our family. And it doesn't solve their issues at home if they are going back into a hard situation, but at the same time, it gives them another place to call home if they want it.
Cool. So I really like that your terminology at camp is service. That you talk about their service and things. That's a great way of reminding the staff why they're there at camp.
Yeah, I mean, we're a big. They're servant leaders is what I call my counselors a lot. I tell them that they're servant leaders. I don't really say that they're counselors. And so it reminds them, hopefully that they take home, what I want them to take home is the values that we hopefully instill in them while they're here for 10 weeks, is being those servant leaders and really serving others. Sometimes I feel like there's not enough of those out in our communities that we serve back in San Antonio, or we have counselors coming over from England, and this is a totally different lifestyle change for them. And so I'm hoping that they take that servant leadership attitude home and just wanting to help others and sort of impacting other people's lives. So yeah, they go and sit in calculus, but whenever they're done with calculus, instead of filling their lives with McDonald's and French fries and just sort of negative things that can impact their lives while they're at college or at home, they find something else to do that serves their community.
Cool. And you keep using ad staff. What's ad staff short for?
It's they're my administrative staff or assistant staff. They're right. Male and female village leaders. And then I have an activity coordinator. And then we have like a head wrangler or a waterfront director, things like that. So it basically goes our executive director, then me, who's I'm in charge of sort of the day-to-day operations and the parent relations during the summer, and then my ad staff really does sort of pounding out the pavement. They're going and taking pictures, they're watching activities, making sure that they're running correctly. They give me equipment checks and things like that, and those are my ad staff. And they really get to know the counselors a little bit more than I do, because they're the direct supervisors, if that makes sense.
Yep, totally. That's cool. When I was directing, we did a number of things, like everybody, I think. I talked to somebody at Tri-State. He was talking about how their staff has to leave on the same day their kids does, and what a weird, in my opinion, poor way to end off a summer. I think you really need a solid ending to your time at camp. It really helps for... I mean, it helps with the emotional safety of your staff, but it also helps, I think, having a real ending helps get them, what I'm trying to say is it makes them want to come back for the next summer. I think it gives them a feeling. Joe often talks about not talking to them about camp next year for a few weeks so that they forget all the bad stuff. But I think that coming up with a good ending, you put so much effort into the start of camp, you put sort of an equal effort into the end of camp, so that the staff is left with this great feeling about camp, and not just that sort of exhaustion, I want to go home and go to bed. At the camp that I was directing last, at Karen, we would have a dinner on the last night. Kids would go home in the morning on Saturday, and then we'd have a big dinner on on Saturday night for the staff. There'd be sort of cleanup and a couple of hours off and a big dinner. And that dinner was always put on by the board. And just over the years, that sort of changed into the board and the Alumni Association, that there are lots of their counselors. Those counselors from their kids will come up and cook a meal, a fancy meal for them, and they dress up. And another big thing that they do on that last night is they sort of draw names, sort of meaning that it's quite organized so that the right people are matched up. But you draw a name, and then you have to make a present for somebody else. And I've talked about that before in the show, that, you know, starting 2 weeks or 3 weeks before the end of the summer, you're given your name and told that you're, you know, going to make a present for that person. And that's also something special. So I think that ends things off great. It's brunch on Sunday morning, and then everybody gets their paychecks and goes home, other than the senior staff members who are staying to sort of clean up or get ready for the next session that's coming in. So that's one way I do think that those finale is just as important as the beginning. But when I was thinking about this topic, I was really also concerned about sort of that second week of September. So they've been home second week of September on a schedule like we have in Ontario or Quebec. I know that, Ryan, that might be the end of August for your staff who've been home for 2 weeks, you know, who went home last week. So, you know, 2 weeks after they get home and they're getting ready for school and sort of feeling the depth of the change. So is there anything that any of you do in that month after to check in with people?
Yeah, we do a couple of things, and I have it in the tool of the week, but and I'll save that for the end, of course. But we send out sort of like individual cards to all of the staff, and there's an easy way to do that. And we also send out sort of a questionnaire, a simple questionnaire asking how they're doing. It's just and some funny information as well that we hope they give us. And then after we get that information, we compile it together and then resend it out. So it's like so-and-so's up to this and so-and-so did this and 50% of you, you know, still had paint on your feet from you know, color wars when you went to class, you know. So there's, you know, sort of put that reconnection together in sort of a light way, but also the director and myself send out an individual letter to each staff member reflecting our thoughts, you know, about the summer. And so we sort of try to connect them, and then also we connect to them. And that's usually, it's a hectic time, right? Because after camp, some of us start with school groups. We have women's weekend. So it's a hard thing to do, but it's well worth it. And we get such a high appreciation from just simple things like that. And so sometimes we sort of have to push ourselves to do it. And then we also let them know when the staff applications will be coming out, so they also know when that'll be around the corner, and if there's any staff event that will be happening. So we try to just connect with them right away. I find that the survey is actually one of the best. I never thought of it. It was another staff member that thought of it, and it was great because we just got funny information and some cool stuff, and then we just compiled it, and then, you know, 3 days later sent something out that was just sort of you know, what's everybody up to, and yep. It's just really cool.
That's brilliant. I love that idea. Joe, do you really give them that 6 weeks of no camp contact, or is there something that you reach out to them with or connect with them in September?
That's a great question. There's nothing planned. You know, this now we're moving into more, because of our location, we're moving into more schools that want us to run programming in the fall, like just day programming. So I get in touch with the staff who we like to ask if they can come and help work. But we haven't really done any, we sort of take September and let it let everything sort of go from there. They're always in communication with each other, and the leadership team is in communication with them just through all of the social media stuff. So,
cool. So you do have some sort of informal contact, but
yeah, I do.
Yeah. Ryan, do you folks have something planned for, you know, in the next few weeks?
Well, I it's changed a lot with Facebook, obviously.
True.
And I'm friends of all of my staff on Facebook. And one thing that I really try to do, and I did it today on my Facebook, as well as I cleaned up one of the offices that they didn't have enough time to clean after the summer. And it was probably the messiest thing I've ever seen in my life. And I took a picture of it clean, and I posted it on my Facebook. And now they're all commenting on it. And those are the really simple unplanned things. But I am going to write an individual letter to everyone that worked this summer, and I send it out to them. And in the December, sort of the new, I think everyone might do this as well, but we send cabin pictures. We send every single one of their cabin pictures to them that they worked with this summer. So each one of them will get 80 kids, basically, faces that they saw. So those are some things that we do. I really like the idea of the survey that Gab was talking about. That's something I've never really thought of or heard before, except for like the final day of camp, you can hand out a survey to your staff. And so that's something that I think I'm going to try to implement this year, because I used to have to run retreats and do those type of things out here. And now we hired another program director and she takes care of that. And so my focus will be on summer camp. And I think that's an amazing idea to send out for them.
Yeah, send them the survey and then also follow it up with, you know, sharing a bit of the information.
Mm-hmm, most definitely. Mm-hmm.
Cool. One thing that that we did, we started the last couple of years that Beth and I were directing, because I was always so aware of this period, because as I said, I had, like, I really had a serious depression coming back to camp, or coming back to school in high school, and even my first couple of years of university. So I've always been conscious of this. And one thing we started is, because we were a faith-based camp, we organized, or we knew about where people were connected to a church at home. And so we, in the last 2 weeks of the summer, had every staff member tell us what church they go to, whether it's just a youth group that they go to at university, or, you know, their church at home, and the name of the minister. And when we had those two things, we would write a letter to the minister from those home congregations and say, we had a great summer with this young person from your church. And they're back at home now. They have all this new experience. They, you know, they're really enthusiastic about working with youth and using these camp skills in their communities. And we wonder if you could just, you know, take some time, ask them how their summer went, maybe ask them if they'd like to be involved in some programs at church, just so that when they were going back, they'd have someone who would ask them to do something important and be involved in something. And that nice adult reaching out to them was a way to do that. And, you know, another trick that I use myself, especially when I got to university, but I really noticed that the last couple of years of high school, is that I would, on the first week back to school, I would watch for the camp people. And we all know that you can pick camp people out of a crowd by the bracelets, the sandals, and the sandal tans, and all their camp shirts. And so I'd always watch them and find them in a crowd and say, hey, what camp did you go to? And people are always surprised that I would be able to recognize them as camp people. But I would sort of find people who'd had a similar experience, even if they weren't my best friends at school. They were just somebody that I'd had a shared experience with and could always talk about camp that was so important to, you know, to who I was as a person. And a lot of school friends wouldn't understand that. So
that's really cool, the outreach, I think, to the different churches. If I was a camp staff and somebody approached me because my camp director had talked to them, that would mean a lot. And I wonder if there's something similar that camps could do if they don't have a religious affiliation, but that there's another way where you bring that person's community closer to them through sort of a camp connection. But I love that. It sounds very nice. It's very nice.
Well, and I wonder if you could look at their reference forms and find someone in the reference form that wasn't a specifically a professional reference, you know, wasn't a work reference, but was somebody who is a guidance teacher or a coach or family friend that had written a reference, or you had called for a reference, and reach out to that person, because you know that this staff member was important enough to them to take the time to give a reference.
Yeah, that's a great idea. That's so cool. I'm thinking about that. I'm pondering it.
Good thinking. Yeah. Right on. Fellas, anything else you'd like to add into the reintegration thoughts? I'm going to take it as a no. That's good. Well, that was some really awesome ideas, and I think things that camps will get this out by the end of the week, assuming the website gets back up, and some things that people can use, whether they are just finishing camp and they still have staff for a week or two, or they're just done camp and they're thinking about ways to help their staff make that transition back into what Beth calls the mundane world. She always calls camps the real world and the rest of it the mundane world. And I certainly feel that it is the case, that after all of the excitement and responsibility and cool things you've done in the summer, the rest of life feels certainly mundane. So, thank you. At this point, what I think we'll do is move to the tool of the week. And for those of you just joining us for the first time, the tool of the week is that something that each of the four of us have used in our camp business that makes us a better camp director. And I haven't released last week's podcast that Joe and I did with Joe's brother Dan, who is also a camp director and is now a board member for a camp, and Rebecca Jess, who we've had on the show before. It will come out before this, but funny thing, when we were done recording at Pierce Williams last week, we wrapped up the whole call, and I said to Joe, I didn't give my tool of the week. So to avoid doing that for two podcasts in a row, I'm going to start with myself. And my pick for my tool is something that I got after I was a camp director, but I really think it applies. And it's sort of an ergonomic thing. It's something that I use in my office every day. It's called the Laptop Laidback. And I originally bought it when I had emergency gallbladder surgery a year and a half ago and had to work from home, but I couldn't really sit up to do anything. So I was either working in bed or in my recliner. And I bought this thing because it put the laptop at just the right angle that my hands were comfortable and I could see my computer, and it just sort of fits around your hips and fit perfectly into my recliner. But since then, I've taken it and put it on my desk to be a place that it brings my laptop up to my eye level. I'm trying to do better because of the amount of time I sit at my desk. I'm trying to do better ergonomically. And with our new house, I just put in a standing desk. And when I am sitting, I have my laptop at my eye level, so I get a little less neck strain. And I think for people like camp directors who spend so much time sitting at a desk and working on things, it's hard on your body to be all hunched over and your neck sort of jutted forward and looking down into a laptop on a table. So the Laptop Laidback is about $90. So it wasn't cheap, but it's something I use every day and have used, you know, every day for a year and a half. And I don't see it getting out of circulation. So totally worth the money to me just that I spent on the Laptop Laidback. And Ryan, since you're our guest, I'd like to ask you to go next with your tool.
Okay. This was given to me as a present, and it's sort of, I use it every single day in my normal life and in camp life. It was given to me because they thought I was so unorganized, I need something to organize my life with. And they gave me a wallet. It's called a Levenger wallet. And they put index cards in it, and they had put a place for a pen. And he also got me a space pen, but my boss gave it to me. It allows me to be walking around camp, or I'm at a lunch or a dinner or a breakfast, whatever time, where I'm around counselors and they have access to talk to me without leaving their kids unsupervised. And they come up to me and they ask me all these sort of weird questions that I won't remember at the end of the day. So the wallet has these index cards. I always say, wait a second. And I take a few seconds to pull out my wallet, grab my pen, ready myself. Then I say, go. And then they ask me a question, or they tell me something that needs to be fixed around camp or anything like that, and I can write it down so I can remember it later on after I've forgotten it, after it slipped out of my head. I can open up my wallet and see the issues that I need to take care of.
It's a great pick. I've said before in the show that I carry recipe cards with me wherever I go, and I always, one of my expectations of my staff is that they always have a notebook and a pen, so that if I have some instructions to give them, they can take it. So this would be an awesome vehicle for that. I usually use recipe cards with a binder clip, but it'd be so nice to have something that looks a little less janky for when I sit down and talk to clients or, you know, working with people at camping, and can pull out that out. So it's an awesome pick. Really cool. I also like having recipe cards with me because then I'm not afraid to write on them and leave them for people if I miss them at their desk, or I go to their program area and they're not there, but I just want to leave a note for them. Then I can give them some appreciation or a pointer or whatever and just leave it on a note for them, because I always have these cards with me. So nice to have something a little better looking than just a butterfly clip and cards.
Yeah.
That's cool. Gab, you haven't been on in a while. Why don't you tell us what yours is?
Mine is Send Out Cards, which is an automatic card sender outer program. There. It's basically a company that will take your Excel sheet of all of the addresses you want to send out cards to. And you can send out personalized cards, or you can send out, you know, same message cards. They provide you with a whole bunch of like stock photographs if you want for the covers. We always use our own just because it's a nice personal touch. It's really, really easy to use. It's super inexpensive. And I grew up, you know, a camp kid, so I totally remember coming home from school and there'd be like movies would be on the table and there'd be like pizza. And I remember my younger brother being like, "Oh man, are we collating?" And it was like my parents' way to bribe us to be, you know, stuffing envelopes and licking stamps and folding things. And you don't have to do any of that. Literally, you enter in the information and it's all done. It's sent out, stamping, everything. It's so easy. So maybe it's like, for me, it's so exciting because I don't have to collate and relive those horrible evenings of putting lots of camp mail together. But right. It seriously makes our lives so much easier. And then you can do that send out stuff. I think it's really, really helpful marketing wise to be in touch with your families when they get home, to sort of get them to remember the magic of camp. And send out cards is super awesome for that. And then we also do it for our staff, and then anybody that's helped us that summer, alumni, volunteers, basically everybody gets a card. And it's so nice on our end because we don't have to put anything into an envelope.
So you do it all through their website, right?
Yeah, you do it all through their website. They have different pricings, and I don't know anything about that because Jackie takes care of all that, but I designed the card, or if you can just drop a simple image and then, you know, choose a font that you want that says your camp's name. And it's simple, simple, simple.
Awesome. Yeah. Very cool. Yeah, that's been a tool of yours from before, and it's great to have you do it now because this is the time when you're actually using it.
Yeah, exactly.
Right on. Joe, what's your tool?
My tool of the week is a website called Lifehacker. Lifehacker is a Well, it's a website about hacking your life, and it is, there's a lot of computer stuff on there, but there's also, and some of it is really great. Like, I always find shortcuts when I'm reading through Lifehacker, like instructions on shortcuts, things to do with your computer, things that'll save you time. And I email them to my office person so she knows how to do something quicker. Mm-hmm. And I also, there's an article on there today about how to hide things. It's a really interesting book to read. And it's just a website that's full of everything that you could possibly need. For years, I've been using something from Lifehacker, from their book, Upgrade Your Life, to set backups up for our computer system at camp. And but there's lots of other things as well that aren't as computer based.
Well, and it, by the name alone, I think people recognize that Lifehacker was an inspiration for Camp Hacker, that what we wanted to do was give tools to camp directors to do that stuff that they may not know on their own, or sort of pool our resources to come up with hacks. I've had some people be critical of us choosing to be called Camp Hacker, but Lifehacker really is in the spirit of what we're doing here, that it's really just finding ways to make our lives simpler, and putting that together. So Lifehacker's awesome.
Well, and a lot of times you find the most interesting things. Like through Lifehacker, I went to another site and found a brochure, no joking, people, called Farming with Dynamite, A Few Hints to Farmers. And this is a 1910 brochure that is, you can view the whole thing, but what's the best is that it, just looking at the inside cover, it says, Farming with Dynamite saves money, time, labor, removes stumps, hardbed, boulders. And I'm like, well, dynamite would remove lots of stuff. But it's part of it is the Lifehacker is one of those places where it brings the discovery back, right? There's lots of stuff that you would just never see. Mm-hmm. And there's only a few sites that do that. So
as you're yawning, I'm just reading in Lifehacker, how to break your daily caffeine habit and use coffee, and use coffee strategically. It's really cool. It's really nicely laid out. Very simple to use. It's exciting.
One of my favorite Lifehacker sections is called Daily App Deals. For those who have a smartphone, they have a daily app deal, and often they're free things that are just sort of free for a short period of time. And they do a short review of an application for iOS, so an iPhone or an iPad, for Android phones, and sometimes for BlackBerry apps as well. And I have a hard time not buying something that's 99 cents. And if things have dropped in price to 99 cents and that's their daily app deal, I buy it.
Yeah.
And it's nice that they have a little review of what's there. So that's one of my favorite sections of Lifehacker.
Which is should be probably at least a topic on apps for camps. I know we sort of talked about it lightly, but I think they're becoming quite elaborate. I'm starting to see some camp apps that are not just like register, get directions, daily picture. It's like, it's getting pretty elaborate. There's some really neat camps that are doing some cool stuff on apps.
Yeah, that's cool. We should definitely do that.
Yeah.
Start collecting those in one of our Google Docs ideas. Good. Okay, well, that brings us to the end of the show. Ryan, thank you very much for being on the show. It's been really great to have you.
Oh, thank you for having me.
It's nice to have you.
Very informative.
Good. So. It's nice to have another person's perspective, and we always try to get somebody who's not one of the four regulars in every session. So we're so glad that you spoke up at the last minute and said that you were interested in helping out. Thanks. Can you just let people know how they can find you online and your camp online, how they can get a bit more information?
Well, our camp website is www.ymcacampflamingarrow.org. You can go there, and it has links to our Facebook page and all of that. Our Facebook page is, I love our Facebook page. We update it bi-weekly now that it's off season, but during the summer we updated it every single day with camper statuses and things like that. But also a great way to sort of keep in contact with me is I also blog for the camp. We blog. We try to get at least 3 blogs in a week in the off season, and we've started doing it, and it's called heyheycfa@blogspot.com. So those are the ways that you can get in contact with me and learn a little bit more about CFA and Camp Flame and Arrow. So
Amazing. Thank you so much.
No problem.
Hey, Joe, how about you?
You can find out more about Pierce Williams at campisbetter.com, and you can follow. We actually have a Facebook page now, and I'm on day 45 of the camp director check-in. So every day I've been putting an update there. And you can follow me on Twitter at yoyojoer. That's yoyojoer. And yeah, that's good.
That's awesome. Thanks a lot, Joe.
You're welcome.
Hey, Gab.
You can check out where I work at Camp Woro at woro.com. And you can also go to my little website on camp information, which is gabriellerail.com.
Awesome. Thanks, Gab. We're so glad to have you back.
Yeah, no worries.
It's great. And if people want to connect with me, we do have Camp Hacker on Twitter, so that's at Camp Hacker. My personal Twitter is at Zoic. But I must say that it's been a busy summer, and I've had to sort of prioritize my social media stuff. And I am loving the way that Google Plus works. I think it's been really great, and there's some really intelligent conversation going on there. So if you wanted to connect with me on Google Plus, I am hoping that as summer sort of winds down, we'll do some things like hangouts for camp directors. So Google Plus will allow up to 12 people to be in a video chat together, and then we'll record those and post them to Camp Hacker. But if you want to add me on Camp Hacker, just because of the way Google's setup is, I have about 4 different accounts, and I didn't really want to. But my main account is at travis.john, that's J-O-N, .allison@gmail.com. That's the Google Plus account that I really use a lot. And so I welcome you to join me there to ask any questions or send me links to things, because I love looking at camp photos. I've said a number of times that that I do camp photography, and I love seeing pictures of camps there and putting camp stuff up there. So please join me on Google Plus. If you want to find out about the show notes and the links to the things we talked to, you can go to camphacker.org. Today, when we're recording it, we've been offline for 5 days, and I'm working on getting that back online. It's a problem with PHP scripting, which is so far beyond my HTML talents, that I'm still just trying to sort all that out. So we should be back online by time you hear this. If you listen and download this through your through iTunes, then I'll post the show as soon as it's done. Otherwise, it'll go online when the website goes back up. And you'll see that. So that should be all together now. If you are listening on our website and you want easy, free, automatic delivery of this podcast, then you can subscribe on iTunes, on the BlackBerry Podcast Store, through Stitcher. You can get it delivered for free, and streaming on any sort of a smartphone that you have. So we've talked a lot about the Summer Camp Pros group on Facebook. Please join us there. That's how Ryan got to be on the show. And often I post and say, we're looking for a guest. If you have an idea, something you want us to talk about on the show, we'll do it there. So that's at zoic.ca/camppros, and that'll take you to a Facebook page. And I think that's it. The last thing I'd like to say is thanks for the evening, friends.
The Camp Hacker Podcast is brought to you by Walking Maverick Consulting at walkingmaverick.com. Thanks for listening.